Good morning, Church of Glenshaw Valley. Our scripture lesson comes from Luke 24. It's the last chapter of Luke. It begins with the women going to the gravesite of our Jesus Christ and finding the tomb empty. And it talks further on how he has appeared before the rest of the disciples and the apostles. And then finally ends with this section that we're going to read now. But the thing that I was most interested in when I was studying for this was it was all done with great joy. The great joy replaced the sorrow and the fear that the disciples and the apostles had when Christ was crucified. So please listen to your own personal message as I read Luke 24, 44 through 53. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with the power from on high." When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. Bless the reading and hearing of our scripture.
Thank you, Bill. I forgot to do this. I work so hard loading this, I'm at least going to show it to you. Friday's supposed to be my day off. So I took it this week and I worked in the yard all day Friday. Well, not all day, but I worked for several hours. And Saturday I worked for several hours. I'm not used to that. I'm discombobulated. But you know, it doesn't take much for me. So there was the scripture. It was there. I want to begin this morning with a love story. It's a wonderful story. Even more enchanting is the fact that it really happened. It's not a made-up love story. The story begins with real-life prints from an independent collection of states in northern eastern Burma. In the 1950s, Singh came to Denver, Colorado to study agriculture. And since he wanted to experience what it was like to be a student in the U.S., he kept his identity secret. Not even his professors knew who he really was. One of the fellow students was Inge Sargent. Inge was from Austria, and since both of them were exchange students, Inge and Prince quite quickly found that they had a lot in common. They started to spend more and more time together, and their friendship eventually grew into love. Now here's where it begins to sound like a fairy tale, but I assure you, it is not. It is really true. The prince decided that he would not tell Inge who he really was, even though their relationship was beginning to get serious. He didn't want her to love him because of his title. He wanted her to love him because of who he was just as a person. Even when they became engaged, he decided not to disclose his secret. Even on their wedding day in the U.S., he still did not reveal his identity. However, on their honeymoon, they took a ship to Burma. to see his family. And as the ship docked in his native land, hundreds of people were waiting at the harbor. Many would welcome signs and flowers, and a band was playing, and they were tossing those flowers at the ship and into the water. And surprised by all the excitement, Inge turned to her husband and asked, "Who are all these people celebrating? What is all this about?" And the prince turned to his bride and said, "Inge, these people are celebrating our arrival. You are now a princess." Suddenly Inge saw her husband in a whole new way, a whole new perspective, a whole new light. And her life was changed forever. In today's lesson from the Gospel of Luke, the disciples of Jesus experienced the crowning touch of his roller coaster journey of discovery about who Jesus really was. He had been their teacher and their friend. They had seen him do marvelous things, feed the 5,000, heal the lepers, even raise the dead. But they also witnessed the crowds turn against him and yell for him to be crucified. And then he was crucified. But then on the third day, he arose from the dead. And he made an appearance to over many disciples over a 40-day period. 40 days. And now he was saying goodbye to his disciples. Who was this man who had walked among them? No ordinary man, that's for sure. Foretold by the prophets, risen from the grave, ascended into heaven. Surely he is who he says he was, the Son of God, Most High God. This Thursday is Ascension Day, and it tells us, I think, several things. It tells us who Jesus is. It tells us what we are to do, and it tells us where the power comes from for us to live as Christ would have us to live. He did not leave us powerless. So who is Jesus? We say it each Sunday in our Apostles' Creed. We believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried in the grave for 3 days. Then he arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of power with the Father Almighty. And he's going to come to judge the quick, which means the living and the dead. This is what we believe. Jesus the Christ, the Anointed One, is our Savior. He is our Master. He is our Lord. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no one above him. In his presence one day, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Philippians 2:10 tells us that. And all this was confirmed in the events of the Ascension. No wonder the disciples were filled with joy and worshiped him and stayed continually at the temple praising God. They knew without any more doubts that they had been in the presence of the Son of God, risen from the dead, now ascended into heaven before their very eyes. Henry Sloan Coffin once told about three young Englishmen who in April 1848 found themselves in Paris in the midst of a revolution which overthrew King Louis Philip. One of them kept a diary of their trip, and there's one entry describing the sack of a palace by a mob. Everything was being smashed when suddenly the mob reached the chapel, broke the doors, and found themselves confronting a huge painting of Christ behind the altar there. Someone called out, "Hats off!" Heads were bared. Most of the crowd knelt down, and the picture of Christ was carried out to a neighboring church. It said, "The most uttering silence that you might have ever heard, that you could hear a fly buzz." As disciples stood there on the day of Christ's ascension into heaven, I imagine you could have heard a pin drop of fly coming by. So quiet, standing there in awe, watching him ascend into heaven. Like some kind of rocket man without all the contraptions. The ascension of Christ settles forever the question of who is Jesus Christ? Was he who he says he was? Now let's deal with what are we supposed to do if he really is the Christ? If he really is the Anointed One? If he really is the Son of God? Not just another prophet that has come. Not just another good man telling good stories and trying to get people to do good things. In his last moments with his disciples before he ascended, he gave his disciples their marching orders, if you will. This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. His last instruction to them was that they were to be witnesses. Not to go home and be silent and keep this some kind of secret and hold it in just for them. But to tell everyone that they came in contact with. And that is our responsibility. We have been charged as the church and as Christians to tell the next generation of who Jesus Christ is so that message does not get lost. And I also think we need to say that it does not get watered down. The disciples of Jesus were to witness to something unbelievably wonderful and dynamic. And one person had died for all peoples. God's Son had walked among us. God's Son had died for us. God's Son had rose for us. And God's Son had ascended into heaven for us. And Christians have been telling this story for 2,000 years. And now it is our turn. Each and every one of us, it is our turn to tell this old, old story. And we have to ask ourselves, will I do my part? Will I tell the story? Many of us are reluctant even to ask someone to church. Many of us are reluctant even to let other people know that we are a Christian. We really don't want them to know. We don't have to want to deal with that because we want to fit in with whatever happens to be going on at the time. Donald Gray Barnhouse tells about a sad incident that happened in 1936 Olympics. In the women's 400-meter rally relay race, the Germans were far ahead in the race, and the third runner had the baton and passed it to the last runner. With a clear 5-yard lead, race easily to be won, the last runner dropped the baton. Photos show the despair on the face of that last runner. Can you imagine? Shortly after the games, Barnhouse was looking at an illustrated magazine with pictures of the Olympics. And the magazine happened to have text under the pictures of the three languages, and English said, "They muffed the baton." Now, for all you who know French, and to my French teacher in high school, I apologize. The French said they dropped les témoins. Témoin is the ordinary French word which means witness. The idea was that the runner who reached the tape to have the baton, it was the witness that the race had been run and had been finished. That the full distance had been covered by each of the runners because the baton had been passed down. Had been passed off from one runner to the other runner. The jury, I think, is still out on our generation whether the baton has been dropped, whether we are willing to do the witnessing, the sharing of the gospel the way that we should, or are we dropping the baton of witnessing? In most of our churches, congregations are getting older and grayer. The mainline churches, the Presbyterians, the Methodists, the Lutherans, Churches of Christ, many of them are going down. It's just the reality. Do people care? We see on the day of Ascension who Jesus really is, and we see what we are to be to do as witnesses, to raise our families to be followers of Jesus Christ, to invite our friends to follow Jesus, to live our lives in such a way that people would desire to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. One more thing. Where the power comes from for living as followers of Jesus Christ. It's one thing to ask you to do something and then not give you the tools. Ask you to build a house and not give you any measuring sticks, any hammers or nails or power tools, saws, whatever. How can you do it? No plans? What do you do? Jesus says in our lesson, "You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Where does our power come from? And you even realize that you have been empowered. Our power comes from the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is the gift that God promised to us. And you have it if you are a Christian. But you have to learn to tap into it. 2 weeks when we celebrate Pentecost, we will talk more about the gift of the Holy Spirit. And among the Holy Spirit gives us is that power, the power to endure, the power to make a difference. The Holy Spirit also gives us guidance, for it doesn't make much difference how much power you have if you're going in the wrong direction. We've seen men with great power like Hitler take a nation and almost the world in a completely wrong, horrible direction. We see dictators all the time with power taking their countries to destruction. The wrong direction. The Associated Press ran a story sometimes back about a virus that had infected a group of Canadian geese. The virus destroyed their navigation system. These geese flew in circles, became disoriented, and got lost. Can you believe that? Canadian geese getting lost. No, they weren't all male geese. It was devastating for the flock. Thousands of geese died. What an incredible consequence because of a loss of ability to navigate. Many people today are clueless about their lives and directions that they should go, just as these geese who lost their navigation system. And we are missing out on a great resource of our lives if we do not pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit to empower us and to lead us and to guide us. And I'm convinced that the reason Christians are not having the impact that God has called us to have upon our families and our communities and our world is because we do not seek the guidance and the power that the Holy Spirit has there for us. So this is what we need to take away from the celebration of Ascension. We know who Christ is. He is like a prince that comes to woo his beloved without revealing his identity. And we find out that we are his beloved. He has called us to pass on the baton that we have received from the generations before us and to start passing that baton on to the new generation that is coming up, to tell the story of Jesus and his sacrifice and his love and the promise of salvation and eternal life. And He has promised us His Spirit to guide us, to empower us, to comfort us when we are hurting and when we have fallen and when we feel like that we cannot go on anymore in life or in our church life. No wonder on that first day of Ascension, Luke ends the story like this. When He had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, He lifted up His hands and He blessed them. I like that. And while He was blessing them, He left them and was taken up into heaven. The last thing He did was bless them. And while He's blessing them, He's taken up. All in the same time. And then they worshiped Him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And that's where the church should stay, in joy, in joy, in joy. And they stayed continually at the temple praising God. Continually praising God in joy. Let us praise God as well. May God bless you. Amen.